Broadcasting live from CLE Cigar Company in Miami, Florida, and powered by the Sereno Cigar Company Studios in North Carolina, the Casa Cuevas Studios in Euless, Texas, and Ventura Cigar Company Studios in California. Welcome to a primetime special edition extra cut. Today, primetime's going daytime again as we're going to spend some time with Mr. Tom Lazuca. And this segment is sponsored by Michael's Tobacco. With just over a decade of ownership, Michael's Tobacco has become the premier tobacconist for the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area and cigar patrons the world over. With two locations in Euless, Texas and Keller, Texas, Michael's Tobacco stands as a beacon for Texas cigar retailers. Michael's was the very first cigar lounge in the state of Texas to offer a full bar to its ever list of growing accommodations. Proprietor Mike Peacock is a former IPCPR board member and has now made Michael's a family affair by having his son Bob join the ownership force. Under general manager and master storyteller Tracy Spence's leadership, Michael's, his self-proclaimed accomplishment has been assembling the world's greatest team in cigar retail business, as well as some of the finest relationships in the industry's most respected individuals. Inventory director Jason Fields handles and maintains two of the area's proudest humidors containing premium cigars for everyone from the everyday smoker to the most ardent collector of puros. On the Mike, Bob, Tracy, and Jason's example, they have enlisted a staff including Kevin, Austin, our very own Bear Duplessis, Joe, and Silas that collectively boast over 75 years combined industry experience. Together, they have made and brought a true blessed mainstay to their respective communities. Whether you're celebrating an anniversary, birthday, hole-in-one, or just a desire to relax, Michael's Tobacco will have that perfect cigar waiting for you with an exquisite beverage pairing and lively conversation. Visit michaelstobacco.com for more details and a calendar of upcoming events. Michael's Tobacco, not just a cigar shop, but the perfect blend of Texas hospitality and days of yore. Well, it's Will Cooper. I'm still at CLE Cigar Company headquarters, and I happened to just come in here, and Mr. Tom Lazuca was just hanging around here.
Yeah,
I mean, you just happen to be in the area here. We actually interviewed Christian in the first cut, and we had an opportunity to sit down and talk with Tom for a few minutes, and we appreciate the time here.
Yeah, glad you're here.
Yep. So first of all, I think Aaron and I don't know if you know, we did a and Bear, we did a big baseball show. and I'll just tell you, when it came to the AL Central, I don't think we had
you didn't have a winner in there.
I think there were three teams that were just kind of like Chicago, Detroit, and Kansas City, and I think the good news, you're not going to finish in last this year.
Well, you know, there's a lot of season left. We keep losing 1-0, so I think we've lost 4 times already, 1-0 this year, so we're getting some decent pitching, but we can't hit to save our lives right now. So,
oh my god, I think Mr. Gardenhire's got his work cut out for him to say the least.
Yeah, it's a young team.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the weather warms up though, the bat should start coming alive, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. You know, we still got Cabrera and, you know, Victor Martinez, and we got some good young talent in the trades, you know, from last year when they started the fire sale. So, you know, as these guys get going, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think they'll be better than what people think they were, but, you know, I don't think we're going to see a playoff team this year, but, you know, Cabrera doesn't have any protection in the lineup anymore.
We talked about, do you think that contract's killing him right now?
No, you know, as long as he's producing and doing his job, he puts people in the stands, and, you know, he's such a great hitter. Last year, you know, he had his worst year of his career, but I think, you know, this year he'll be all right. He'll kind of rebound, and you know, I don't know if he'll get the home runs, you know, and the RBIs, because he just doesn't have probably the people on base nor the protection in the lineup where they're going to have to pitch to him. In the past, they would have to, and now they're probably not going to have to pitch to him so much. So,
All right. So I got a question, because Tom doesn't, and Aaron don't know I'm asking this question, but I'm looking over yonder, and there's a Tom Lazuca Award. What is the Tom Lazuca Award? There's a big cup. It's a middle cup. So, Tom Lazuca Award.
Yeah. So that's our that's like our version of the Stanley Cup. So when you know, we give that out every year at Camacho. Back in the day, we used to give an award called the Sal Fontana Award, and you know, when Sal passed away, and obviously we changed companies and started this one. The first year, Christian kind of surprised us with a Sal Fontana Award, but he awarded me the award and changed the name to it to Tom Lazuca Award.
And he cried when I told him about it.
Yeah, I think we both cried a little. We were both a little teary. I think had to step away for a moment. But So every year, you know, we give that award out to the person who best, you know, it's not sales based. It's who best represents our company, right, and our vision and our mission. So every year we give that out. And then after it's given out, we pour a adult beverage in there and we drink out of the cup. Nice. So that's the Tom Lazuka Award.
very good. So I happened to walk in here. By the way, Tom hooked me up with a cigar. I was kind of hurting for a cigar. Tom hooked me up with a cigar, and he hooked me up with your brand new release here.
Yeah. And Medulla Oblongata Maduro.
I'm glad he said it because I can't say it. Christian just gave me a lot of. So I'm actually smoking the Medulla right now. I just finished the box, bro.
Yeah.
The Oblongata.
Yeah, I'm smoking the Oblongata myself.
Yeah. Tell us a little about this cigar.
So obviously, you know, last year we launched the Medulla Oblongata Natural, which is a Honduran Corojo. And so this year we followed it up with the, obviously, the Maduro version,
right,
which is the same binder and filler, Honduran binder and filler with a San Andreas Maduro wrapper.
It's very tasty. This is very tasty.
Thank you.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, I just smoked the box press and now I'm smoking the round. I could definitely, there are some nuances. There's definitely some nuances that are, so, you know, I know that from smoking the naturals as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how people pick up different things from them.
Yeah. Yep. So, this cigar, is it out now? And it's,
it is, the Robusto and the Toro shipped. We're still waiting, hopefully shortly, but you know, next week or in the next 2 weeks we should have the bigger ring gauges in stock, so we'll have it in the 660, 770 and an 80x6.
Oh wow.
Also.
Oh wow. So what's been happening, Tom? Give us a little update on Asylum 2018 right now.
Yeah, no, listen, it's been a great year. You know, we're again having good quality growth again as a company. You know, we battled a little back order issues at the beginning of the year, but you know, we've gotten caught up there and, but you know, we're plugging along, you know, we're getting ready for TAA, head down to the Dominican this week and, hopefully have a good show there and then, prep for the IPCPR, which, here we got a back to our old home in, 2019 and 2020.
Yeah. It's going back now. The champagne bar is not there anymore.
Yeah, I saw you reporting on that.
I, you know, let me tell you, of all the things on Cigar Coop, right? And I'm not,
yeah.
I was in Vegas that week, right? And it's 3 hours earlier. So I put that out there like on Sunday night. And I didn't think it was going to be a big deal. I mean, I knew some people would go, 5 a.m., like my phone's ringing. Like, is it true? I'm like, yeah, it's true. Eric gets me, oh, bro, what are we going to do? I'm like, we'll find some place to smoke, Eric.
So, we're going to have to go back to the Venetian side instead of the Plaza side.
Right. It's still the Venetian. But what happened, the story is I was with some business colleagues and at the time, and I said, hey, why don't we find a quiet, like they want to have a cigar, but they want to go to a quiet place. And I really didn't want to take them to a more expensive place because I had cigars. I know this great place. And then I look like a complete ass because I'm walking around trying to find it. Like,
it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. Like, you know what you're talking about? And then finally, when I asked someone, you know, because I didn't want to ask for directions, you know, they told me and I was like, oh, okay. I didn't feel like such an idiot anymore. So, so that was that story. But yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen there, but it's good. It's going back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, last year you guys came out with a TAA Asylum 13, the 70 box press.
Yes.
Is that something, like what I've noticed with CLE is you release something for the TA and then the year after it goes regular production. Is that something you guys are thinking of putting in regular production?
It is now, yeah.
Okay, so that's
We're just releasing that this month to full production for everybody.
Yep.
And that's usually something we leave up to TAA.
Right.
You know, if it's a product they want to keep, we give them that option. But a lot of times they want something new every year that we can do. And so, you know, hence the new, the Diadema and the Aroa,
right.
First 20 this year will be our TAA exclusive, this year. So, yeah, I mean, we leave it up to them. I mean, if they want to keep the product, we will keep it TAA exclusive, but, so far every year they've asked us to come up with something new and, exclusive to them. So we keep doing that and then we launch it nationally the product from the year before once TAA hits.
Yeah, I noticed you did that with the necrophilia a couple years ago, and that became – so it's been alternating years you guys have done with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So 1 year it'll be a CLE Aroa product, the next year a Silent product.
All right, so with the box press, have you guys tried to do an 80 box press yet?
No. Not yet. You know, you never know. You know, that's you know, how many times can we recreate the wheel here? But you know, if there's demand for it and people ask for it, it's definitely something we'd look into doing.
Right. How about just in general? I know you're box pressing these lines that we're smoking here, but how about the core Asylum 13 line? Any thoughts possibly of maybe doing 60 or 50 box presses with those?
You know, we have not talked about it. You know, I think that's something that I think we could really kind of launch as like store exclusives to do as, you know, for specific retailers maybe or regionally. Right. Yeah, no, we haven't even talked about it yet. That's something me and Christian haven't got into yet about, you know, expanding the other lines in the box press.
Right. Interesting. I asked Christian this a little. Like what's unique, what he's doing now, what you're doing is you guys are splitting your time between Nicaragua and Honduras as far as producing the blends right now.
Correct.
What are some of the differences you find of having cigars come out of both countries?
Price. It's actually cheaper in Nicaragua. You know, we have our facilities in Honduras and they do a wonderful job. But I think the tobacco is very different,
right?
You know, I think something that over the years, especially in the last 10 years, the tobacco, the fermentation and the way it's done in Nicaragua they just produce stronger tobacco. And I have a lot of people come and say, oh, we remember, you know, even from the old Camacho days, you know, we remember how strong the Corojo was when it first came out. And it's not as strong as it was. And that's really not the case. You know, it's just that I think the palates have changed. There's fuller body stuff in the market. There's so much Nicaraguan out there that, you know, we don't grow the tobacco any different. Right. You know, we're producing the same tobacco year after year after year. And so, you know, we could do things to add strength if we wanted to. And obviously that's in the fermentation process. But, you know, we grow it the same way. You know, we ferment it the same way. So our strength hasn't went down. I just think everything around it has went up.
Right.
You know, so I think that's a real difference is the flavor profile, the body of the cigar. And not necessarily strength, because I don't think we make anything that's overpowering, you know, in any of our lines. It's all aged and fermented really well. So I just think the body, you know, in the flavor of the tobacco is very different from Honduras to Nicaragua.
Yeah, and I agree with that, because I remember when the Asylum 13s came out, everyone was like, full, but it was full body.
Yeah.
They were full body, but then they weren't going to give you that big nicotine hit either.
Yeah.
So anyone can really enjoy them.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and we try and make sure everything's aged, you know, and fermented a certain way. So, you know, we don't want to blow your socks off. And, you know, I think that's something now that we're, you know, kind of kicking around is, okay, maybe let's ferment some tobacco differently and see if kick it up a notch, come out with some things that are, you know, some ass kickers.
Interesting. Interesting there. Because you had a straight jacket, would you consider that your fullest one?
I think it's the fullest cigar that we made for sure in the Asylum line.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a great cigar. You know, we came out, that was a little bit higher price point for the Asylum market at the time. And so, you know, we relaunched that cigar at a lower price point, like a $7 to $9 price point. And it's starting to, gain traction again because it's just it's more in the wheelhouse price point wise.
Tom, I don't know if I've asked you this question. Asylum uses a lot of large count boxes, which, you know, you hear people, they tend to go the opposite direction. They go to 10 count. Why go to 30 count boxes? Do you think that inhibits a box sale? Or how business wise does that work for you?
Listen, you know what? I we don't sell any less cigars because of it.
Right.
I think it's kind of a twofold thing for us. You know, we're the only company that's Bayer certified. You know, you've been to the farm.
Yep.
You've seen our Bayer crop science and how we got certified through them. So one of the things is having zero impact on the environment. So, you know, one of the things right away was with the 50 count boxes, it was we were producing half the amount of boxes. So we were having less impact on the environment, using less wood. So that was really a big part of it in the beginning. That played into it too. And then, the other thing was we're basically selling one to show, one to go, on the shelf. So they don't got to carry a second box. And it's worked very well. Now, does it prohibit some box sales in a way? Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially through online retail and things like that, because the price point gets up there.
Right.
Well above the average turn that they get, the average ring cost. But most of the retailers will break it down for them and give them, a box discount on 25. So I don't think doesn't inhibit us from selling cigars.
Interesting. I've never asked you this question. You have a lot of offerings in your portfolio. What is the Tom Lazuca go-to Asylum cigar?
Wow. I think every day it's different for me. Like, obviously, the Maduro's been the one recently. We do a lot of this stuff. Asylum, everything we did in the beginning was Nicaraguan. But I tend to go back to our Honduran tobacco a lot. I really love what Julio does in Honduras and Christian with the farms and just the flavor, the earthiness of our Honduran tobacco. So really, I've been smoking a ton of the regular Medulla Oblongatas, the round end, the box pressed.
Yep.
So, or I'll go to, the Aroa Classic and a lot of First 20s.
Yeah.
I've been, getting high off my own supply, but getting into my samples a lot.
Right. But you still have overall responsibility sales-wise for the entire CLE portfolio.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. No, it's it's actually a lot of fun to watch it grow, to start something from the beginning and being, about 17 years in the business now, to be able to start something fresh and do it with, my mentor and a great partner and friend like Christian has been really a pleasure. And, we have our battles, but
I didn't see any of the battles here today, though. You guys were quiet, actually.
Yeah, no. We saved those for cell phones where we hang up on each other and all that stuff. But yeah, we kind of split up the duties and the ideas and the thought processes, always come out better when we're together. It's funny. We can talk about them, over the phone or texting, but it's amazing when me and Christian actually get to sit down with each other, and we don't get to do it enough. But it's, the ideas and the concepts that come out end up really good. So it's good to get down here. Like I said, I just came down a few days early because we're leaving for TA on Sunday. And, we've got our gentleman, Hans Peter Hagman, who does our European distribution for us in the office this week. So we just had, some brief meetings. But it's just great to really get together because we're both going different directions all the time. And I focus on the sales and with all the salespeople, we have 11 people around the country now, plus Hans Peter over in Europe. And Christian really focusing on making sure we have inventory, runs the distribution company and our duties are split up, but we really do talk about everything and put it together and come up with the ideas. We're always trying to one up each other or say, I told you that wasn't going to work when it doesn't work. Cause not everything works, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So we talked to Christian about the announcement to not take on new customers this year. Is that the same for the Asylum brands as well?
Yeah. Because, obviously whatever reason this year started off on fire for us, like it was, usually January, February are our slowest months. And we just crushed it in January. And coming off the factory shutdowns, we didn't have inventory. And we're finding, that we really we needed to slow it down a little bit, because you want to keep the quality. We're not going to rush it. We're not going to do anything that affects the product. So, the best thing we could do is obviously just stop opening new accounts this year, you know, for the rest of the year, you know, and maybe sooner. I don't know. You know, once we're caught up, and we're getting caught up now, but we want to make sure we can provide, you know, our cigars to the retailers without them having to be on back order for a month or weeks at a time, you know, because it hurts our business. We miss turns, and we need to make sure we have product in stock for the people who have supported us. And, you know, I'm looking forward to where we can get out, and hopefully the demand's there. And when we do open it up again, we get some more new people able to carry our products.
And does that change your strategy for the trade show this year?
No, not really, because, you know, the trade show itself is, you know, an opportunity to show our products, obviously, to people, but we don't have a ton of new products. So, you know, our customers come, the trade show, every year we get bigger and bigger at the show. We top the year before, and, you know, even if it's declining attendance, you know, we're still growing. So our average orders gets bigger. So we hope to continue that this year. Obviously, you know, that could change too, but for the time being, you know, we'll obviously present the products and take information from people who are interested in carrying our products. And when we open it up, you know, we'll get in touch with them and obviously sell them cigars, because that's the whole goal.
Yeah.
But we have to keep the quality. You know, right. We have to keep the quality, the consistency, and be able to supply the product first. So, yeah. You know, we've done that pretty well over the years, but we just got hit really hard this first quarter and had a great first quarter. So, right. You know, we wanted to slow it down a little bit to make sure we're taking care of the people who have supported us from the beginning. And, you know, we'll get that caught up. We've increased productions. And once we're caught up, we can start opening accounts again.
Yeah, I would think that having that FaceTime with potential customers that aren't customers now still at the trade show would still be beneficial. And then, that, you know, when, like you said, when you do open back up, you've already kind of initiated that relationship with them so that you're kind of ready to go once that the doors open back up.
Yeah, and we'll see. You know, we'll see what kind of response we get at the show this year. If we get a lot of new people coming in, like I said, we'll take their information and you know, obviously, as soon as we're ready, we want their business. You know, we're not doing it because we don't want to sell cigars. We want to make sure the product is right. So, but yeah, you know, we'll take all their information, and as soon as we're ready to do it, you know, we'll open up new people.
About Europe now, what's the go-to-market strategy with Europe? Is it the bigger ring gauges you're trying to do, or are you going to focus more on some of the more traditional ones for that market?
You know, it's funny, the European market is it's very different for the two brands. You know, when you look at the CLE Aroa side, it's the smaller sizes, and when it's Asylum, it's big ring gauges over there. You know, and that's what a lot of people I think are taken back by that. When you know, in France, the 80 by 8s are crazy. Germany, wow. Like we sell a lot of big ones. Switzerland, you know, guys are coming in buying 70s and 80s.
Very interesting.
So, because I think it's something they don't have in their market, right? It's something unique to the market. And so they, you know, there's a consumer who wants it, just like in the U.S. So it's definitely growing. I mean, Europe, we had great growth there this year. We're expecting a lot this year, you know, again, to get into some new markets and keep growing our existing markets.
Yeah, no, that's you know, it's Europe, a lot of people are going there right now, but your distribution is obviously pretty strong there, it seems like, right now.
It's doing very well. Yeah. And that's all thanks to, you know, obviously Hans Peter has been in this for a long time and has great relationships and has done a great job of getting our products placed there. You know, obviously there's a lot to overcome in Europe in certain countries and, you know, taxation and getting the prices right and all that. So there's, you know, it's a tough hurdle there sometimes, but he's done a great job there for us.
The other thing I've noticed is, you know, back to the trade show is, this is, and I didn't ask Christian this, but I kind of see a pattern with CLE. You guys tend most of your new releases you tend to do before the trade show. And then, like, Medulla Oblongata came out last year at the show.
Yeah.
But that was, but you know, you guys, is that a company focus that you guys try to do that before the show?
Absolutely. You know, we try and have it ready for TAA, you know, to get it into the TA people first. And then, you know, because a lot of, you know, I mean, listen, I don't know if there's a right way or wrong way of doing it, but when I look at, you know, people release stuff at the show and then it doesn't ship until November. You've lost a lot of season,
right?
You know, so, and you go into the slow season, a big part of the country, you know, so we like to get it out, get the placements and get that, the turns throughout the year as fast as we can.
Yep. No, that's good. That's good. Yeah. What's next for Tom Lazuka after, I mean, in Asylum, where do you guys think you're heading right now?
Well, the Dominican Republic, my friend.
Oh, it's tough life. Tough life you got.
Yeah, no. Listen, I think you know we stay pretty steady to our mission. You know, we're not a discounting company. We stick to that, and we grow at the pace that the world's allowing us to grow at. You know, we're not trying to inflate it. We're trying to, you know, obviously we want to sell as many cigars as we can, but we want to do it a certain way and keep the integrity of our brand. So, you know, we're in no rush. You know, we keep growing and we're, you know, in great shape and in a good pace. So yeah, no rush. So it's just more, again, hitting the road and, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies and, you know, just getting out there and keep promoting the brands.
How many days a year are you on the road?
Oh, wow. I don't know. A lot.
Yeah.
You know,
like everywhere I see, it's somewhere different. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'm trying to scale it back to about 250, but
wow.
The first 5 years were pretty heavy, 280 to 300.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are getting a little older now, so trying to be home and catch as much of their stuff as I can. But, you know, that's the life I chose. So, you know, I don't mind the road. I enjoy it and getting out there. And so, yeah, but, you know, probably about 250 days.
Wow.
Yeah. Almost as many as you.
No, I'm actually cut back. I'm gonna cut back. That's a big number.
Every other week.
Well, yeah. I want to do cigar stuff. Yeah, there's rumors I was moving to Florida. I was already moved to Florida. There's rumors my wife and I split, which is not true.
Wow, how does that get out?
Oh my goodness, there were rumors I didn't have a wife, so I had to put a pic because my wife is very She's very, very shy. Very. So we were in Alabama at Reagan's wedding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was a picture that went out, and people actually was – that's not your wife.
Thanks for the invite, Reagan.
Yeah, thanks. For
I heard it was awesome, though.
Oh, my goodness. He
headed at the stadium.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I heard it was awesome. So congratulations, Reagan, to both of you.
Yeah, I mean, he married a wonderful woman. His family was great. I mean, he had the store is like an old Southern mansion.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And he set a tent up on the side, and he turned it like into a high-end cigar lounge, this thing. It was like leather chairs, and the cigars he pulled out, he spared no expense.
Ah,
I mean, Padron Millenniums, Padron. These guys, the bridal party was going through the Padron 50th, okay? like bundle cigars. I'm just telling you. I didn't get that many, but he actually invited me to all the bridal the groomsmen stuff, which was very kind to him.
Yeah.
So I got some nice cigars out of the deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Aaron. Any cigar things? I want to hit Tom with a couple of Michigan things.
Yeah, let's go to Michigan stuff.
What happened in the basketball tournament this year to Michigan?
Well, listen. I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, we made it to the finals, and we ran into a Villanova team that was just on fire.
They really were crushing people.
You know, we played a good first 10 minutes, and then that DiVincenzo kid came in and just caught fire. We couldn't stop him.
Right.
And we weren't hitting our shots, but we had a great run. You know, I don't think anyone really expected Michigan to get to the Final Four, you know, let alone the finals. No, they had a great run, and you know, they got a great recruiting class coming in this year too. So it should, it, you know, they're going to be around for a while.
Yeah, I was screaming bloody murder at, and I'm from North Carolina, and I was screaming bloody murder that North Carolina got two home games in Charlotte. Okay, Michigan was a three seed, and I was screaming on that.
Yeah,
And then they couldn't pull through. But Michigan went on a great run in the Big Ten as well this year.
Yeah, you know, and they gave Michigan State and Purdue the home. You know, we beat both of them in the tournament, and you know, I think Purdue could have been a little different if their big guy didn't get hurt. Haas, you know, broke his elbow, couldn't play. I think that affected them because they're a pretty tough team. But, yeah, it was great to see, you know, that game against Houston where he hit the buzzer beater, the long three-pointer to send him to this – I think that was Sweet 16 game to send him to the Elite Eight. It was exciting. I mean, it's fun to watch. And hopefully the football team can start putting us in some playoff action here soon.
Yeah. Do you think, but one more basketball, do you think Beeline eventually wins the national championship?
Yeah, you know, he's gotten there a couple times.
I like him. He's been there a long time, too. I like him, though.
Yeah, I think he's about 9 or 10 years in now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the players rotate so often. You know, you don't got a lot of guys staying for senior years. And so with all the one-and-done stuff, it's tough to say. But, you know, he's recruiting well. He coaches well. You know, so, yeah, I mean, I think absolutely he's got a chance to win one.
Yeah, we were having in the Cigar Lounge a discussion, best coach not to win the net. And certainly he's now, I think, in that category. You could put him in that. He's the best coach maybe not to win it yet.
Yeah, I mean, you look at
Huggins, maybe Huggins too, but yeah.
You know, Final Fours over the last whatever in the 2000s, Michigan's been to five.
Yeah.
I think Duke is the only team that's been to more. There's six, and then a few teams, Carolina and a few other teams have gotten five. So they're right there.
But,
I mean,
but that's because Duke and North Carolina get home games there. I mean, yeah. And I'm dead serious. They get the games, they don't have to get on a plane. And,
yeah.
But yeah, in this case, it didn't work out for either team.
Yeah, well, good. Well, it's nice to see them. There's a lot of parity in college basketball, yeah. And you know, to see the runs of a couple of these teams like Loyola Chicago, you know, making it to the Final Four is pretty crazy.
Oh, that was nuts.
Yeah,
that was nuts.
Yeah, so yeah. It was good.
So you're looking forward to football, obviously, then.
Yeah, can't get here soon enough. Yeah. I think they're supposed to announce today, as soon as today, that. The old Miss transfer, the five-star Shea Patterson's going to get cleared for eligibility to play right away. He's not going to have to sit out a year.
Oh, wow.
So that announcement was kind of leaked out yesterday. So I think that's good news for Michigan because we have some young quarterbacks, some talent, but no real experience on the field. So it's nice to have someone with some experience, and he's a pretty mobile guy. So. Yep. It'd be good to see that, you know, the defense is really strong,
yep.
Coming back really strong. Last year, you know, I think they graduated 18 out of 22 starters, you know, including the punters and the kickers. So, you know, they had a little tough year last year because they were so young. But that defense was great. They just struggled on offense. So hopefully the offense, we got a new coordinator, new offensive line coach, and some young guys. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. How about now? We didn't talk since we last talked. Caldwell's gone. Matt Patricia's in. Thoughts? I mean, do you like the move?
Listen. I think Caldwell did a decent job, right? He had us competitive, but it was just always they still couldn't run the football. You know, and you're not going to win in the league if you can't run the football.
Giants fell in that problem last year.
The defense is decent, but they're not as good as they can because they're on the field all the time. The Lions can't get a yard. Third and one, goal line, you know, they can't score. They haven't had a 100-yard rusher in 70 games.
Yeah.
You know, five seasons. You would think a guy would just break an 80-yarder once, right, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I think they've only had like 300-yard rushing games since Barry Sanders retired.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah, so, I think you're right.
You know, until they can run the football, I think offensively they're good enough. You know, the draft they went with, one of the top centers, which it was a position of need. So I think that'll help him. He's going to start right away.
Is he going to start center right away? Is he going to put him at guard, you think, first?
No, center.
Oh, really? Okay.
They're going to move Glasgow over.
Okay.
Swanson left. So okay. Glasgow is going to play guard. He's a guard by trade anyway.
Yeah.
a good Michigan kid.
Yeah.
And and they will, you know, so, you know, they got TJ Lang and Wagner last year, two Pro Bowlers that they added. Decker was hurt most of the season last year. He was their first round pick out of Ohio State the year before. So he'll be back healthy this year. So the offensive line's shaping up. I mean, you know, but, you know, they signed LeGarrette Blount. So I think we got a guy who can get a yard. He's pretty good at going forward. Yeah. So, you know, maybe these
Patricia knows him. Patricia's familiar with him.
Yeah. So, you know, I wasn't big on, you know, they kept the offensive coordinator.
Kim Bob Cooter.
Yeah. And that kind of scares me. But, you know, because, again, he couldn't run the football, right? Like, your offensive coordinator can't get a first down rushing. So, but Patricia's, you know, confident in him. He kept them, and they had worked together in the past at some point, I guess. So, you know.
It's good for Stafford. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Kim Bob Cooter, but I think it's good with Stafford. You keep that continuity there.
Yeah, too. Yeah. And I think if Stafford, like I said, if they can run the ball where he doesn't have to throw the ball so much, he's not going to take nearly as many hits. And so the running game's the key. If they can run the football, they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the Lions.
There you go.
Horrible.
No, I mean, you can't go like what we had with the Giants last year. Just doesn't. The only thing that was worse, I mean, probably was, I understand 0-16 season isn't great, but at least you're not the only team anymore to.
Yeah. Thanks to Cleveland.
You have a coach who's 1-31.
So, and he's still there.
Hey, look, I'm a Sixers fan, and we had 4 years, as bad a 4-year run in any profession. They stuck with the coach. It wasn't his fault. They tried to decimate that team.
Yeah, you need time to develop guys. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, so, yeah, we'll see. Listen, you know, they've won one playoff game in my life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the confidence in the Lions, you know.
I remember that game. It was the Dallas game.
Yeah.
That was the Dallas game, man. Yeah. It's hard to believe that, too, because they've been in playoff games.
Yeah, and we can't get out of the first round.
I know. So, and then you had to play Washington in the championship that year, which was, they were really good that year.
Yeah, we that was not a very good game for the Lions.
No. So the Wayne Fonts.
Yeah. Hey, you know, that guy took so much heat, the big buck. They called him in Detroit, and he took a lot of heat, but you know, quite a few years after he left, we were like, God, can you bring Wayne Fonts back? I mean, we were happy at 9-7 making the playoffs and losing, you know, at least we were making the playoffs. But you know, it seems like we're on the right track.
Let me tell you, that was in New York where there were people who wanted Coughlin out fan-wise. I was I'm a Coughlin guy, and let me tell you, after the last 2 years, there were people saying, you know what, maybe we shouldn't run him out of town that quick. So you just gotta be careful what you wish for.
He's a good coach. Yeah, I mean, you know, you change the dynamic in pro sports, and you know, it's amazing how fast it changes.
It is.
You know, for years it was never teams who made the Super Bowl the prior year always made the playoffs. And in the last 15 years or so, 20 years, there's a lot of years that those teams don't even make the playoffs coming off the Super Bowl. So with free agency and all the changing, it's hard to stay competitive. So it's pretty amazing. I know people hate New England, but I'm a fan. To keep it together for as long as they have and to keep winning at the level they're winning. I mean, hats off to Belichick and their organization.
Absolutely.
So, and the Lions are trying to become, you know, New England Midwest with with Patricia, and we got their, you know, our general manager came from there too now. So hopefully they can start putting some systems and in a winning mentality in place, you know?
Absolutely. Aaron, anything else you want to add on sports-wise?
No, I'm good.
All right. Tom, definitely appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you as always.
Cool.
Safe travels to the TAA.
Thank you.
And we'll see you probably at IPCPR. I run into you somewhere around the country.
Yeah, all right. Good. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Aaron.
That's Tom Lazuka, Asylum Cigars.
You got it.
All right. And that's going to wrap up Primetime Special Edition number 29, this extra cut from CLE Cigar Company World Headquarters in Miami, Florida. We will see everyone on Thursday night for Primetime Episode 51 with Mr. Steve Sokka. Have a great night, everybody. A great night. I did it again. Great day, everybody. Take care.